Good morning. Thanks for coming back. You know, our kids count, especially here in Georgia where we live. And the Annie E. Casey Foundation has just released the 2018 Kids Count Data Book. It's an annual look at child well-being in the U.S. And joining me this morning, Rebecca Rice with the Georgia Kids Count, and she is the manager. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Very important issue because our kids are being undercounted, and that affects how we can take care of them, right?
Absolutely. Specifically, the decennial census in 2020 is looking like there's going to be an undercount of young children. And just in terms of planning, if you don't have an accurate count, you can't plan really in so many different ways for the children that are going to be coming through various programs and services and through communities and through schools.
I see that the top three states overall for child well-being are New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and New Jersey. And I looked at that bottom and I said, oh, my gosh, because, you know, for a long time, Georgia was at the bottom, but we're not the last three right now. So that's really great.
We are under 40 for the first time since 2012. So we're celebrating, you know, some incremental progress. We know that we have a really long way to go still, but we're happy that we've moved in the right direction.
Yeah,
we're cautiously optimistic this morning.
Absolutely. We're at 26 for overall child well-being. And I tell you, we've really come up over the years. The last three, the lowest overall child well-being rankings are Mississippi, Louisiana, and New Mexico. And gosh, it's a lot of kids. But tell why. Why are these kids not going to be counted? Why do you think that these kids won't be counted in the census?
Sure. So there are a lot of theories, but a lot of these kids, the ones that are not going to be counted or they're afraid that are not going to be counted, live in what I think census terms are hard to count areas, which is either really dense housing blocks within cities or very rural areas where transportation is hard to access or geographically challenging areas to access. Because the decennial census, where they count every 10 years, they actually count the number of people in the United States. It's really a door-to-door kind of process. And so, you know, if they deem them in hard-to-count areas, then they may not get counted at all. And that, again, it's really shortchanging ourselves.
It really is. You know, it's amazing that with technology and how things have just changed over the world in the last 20 years or in the last 10 years, that they're still having to go door-to-door to count people.
Well, I mean, methodologically speaking, door-to-door is typically the best. You typically get the best data, believe it or not. I mean, the kind of the old-fashioned way. There is a digital element to this year or to the 2020 census, I believe, but there's still a lot that gets done door-to-door.
So talk about what's going to happen if we miss that many millions of children. What's going to happen with that?
Sure. So there are so many decisions made, not just with federal programs, but at the community level, at the school system level, about, you know, if we know that these are the number of kids we need to plan for, and it turns out we underplanned by a million kids, then we're not going to have the capacity to serve all the children and families that we need to serve. You won't have, you could have overstuffed classrooms, you could have underserved teachers in schools. So there are a lot of consequences, and that's just at the community level. I mean, at the federal program level, states are going to lose out on a lot of money if we don't accurately count the number of children that are in the states.
That's critical for us to be able to do that, you know, for stability and opportunity. Also, the areas that are going to be affected economically, of course, health and family and community. Those are all going to be affected if we don't get that good count.
Absolutely. And all those areas are intertwined as well. You can't consider one without the others.
That's right. That's right. And we've seen here in Atlanta where they've you know, allotted for so many students and then the school ends up being overpopulated because they didn't. And this happened a few years back. And they were just amazed by that, you know, that they missed so many kids in the neighborhood.
Right, right. And I mean, if schools are overpopulated, if communities don't have the capacity to serve everyone in the community, then again, we're shortchanging ourselves. I mean, we are the ones who will lose out on a lot of those opportunities.
It says the 2010 survey had the worst undercount since 1950. And so are they thinking that this is going to be worse than the 2010 count?
I think they're thinking it's going to be along the same lines as the 2010 count, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, you know, in between decennial census counts, I know that researchers do some work to try to figure out what can be done to improve the undercount. But that takes resources, it takes funding,
yeah.
And those have been long-term issues with the census.
So how can we help, you know, as a community, as
sure.
as consumers, as teachers and parents and folks that just love our people? What can we do to help?
I would say share the information as much as you possibly can. Lift it up. Make sure people understand the importance of this public data. You know, when we say data these days, people think automatically about corporations mm. mining your data from Facebook or social media mm. or our purchasing habits online. But there's also a really important aspect to this public data that's collected by the Census Bureau. And it's used in a lot of really important ways. And I think we've kind of forgotten that that's what also the population data is just as important in so many ways as this other data that we talk about. So I think that we need to just make sure people understand how vital it is that we have an accurate, complete count of the number of children, families, people in this country, because it really matters. If we want to be good, informed decision makers, right. then we need to make sure that we have complete, accurate information upon which to make those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think anyway, I mean, use this release, use this issue of the undercount, use how important to really use it as a tool for communication and for building momentum around the importance of this data set.
And I'm sure that when the 2020 census comes around, before that, they'll do a lot of public service announcements and, you know, just getting the word out. That's going to be important. I hope so, too.
Sure, we're already well into 2018. So, I mean, the sooner we can get this message out and have it heard and have people mm-hmm. understand the importance of this data set, the better off we'll be.
You know, and I think for some people, they may think, oh, they're tracking me. They'll have my information. They will, but but it's not for
sure.
that. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's
right.
not for that.
Right. And I mean, and the census has been around in various forms for centuries
mm-hmm.
now, and it's constitutionally mandated.
Right.
So it's something that it's not some new scary thing to be afraid of in terms of data collection. It's
right.
It's the old school data collection
right.
format. So it's really the original data collection. So yeah, it's not tracking people for the sake of following them or
right,
mining them,
right.
really tracking them to make sure that we can make the best decisions
right.
in terms of allotting services and planning for the future.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to plan for the future, you need the best information possible to work from.
Absolutely. Well, we'll be looking for it. Can folks go somewhere and see this new survey, this new annual look at child well-being?
Sure. You can either go to the Annie E. Casey Foundation website at aecf.org,
mm-hmm.
or you can see the Georgia release that we wrote about child and family well-being in Georgia at gafcp.org.
All right. Rebecca Rice, manager of Georgia Kids Count, thank you so much for the information.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.